Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's John Mahaney, an instructor at Flight Safety International and an author and aviation speaker from Long Beach, California, who is today's host.
Good morning, and this is John Mahaney at Air Venture, and we're here with a, and your name is Mark Corin of Alpha Systems, which is all about angle of attack. And we want to talk to Mark about his product and why it's so important for GA pilots in that. So, Mark.
Well, hi, John. Thanks for coming to my booth, and yes, we make an angle of attack system. Pilots over the years, since the early Wright brothers, have been flying angle of attack. That's what you're flying. You're not flying airspeed, you're flying angle of attack.
Right.
Angle of attack is directly related to lift. So if you have a display in your cockpit that gives you the correct amount of lift, all pilots manage lift. You can either have too much lift or not enough lift.
Right.
An angle of attack will give you that direct readout instantaneously, regardless of gross weight, density, altitude, bank angle, CG. It's all lift, period.
Excellent. Pretty good. Thank you. So, has this helped to maybe reduce accident rates or anything like that, or you know, basically making pilots more aware of how they are, how close they are to the edge when they're flying?
Well, there's an old statistic that in 1950s, the U.S. military on carrier landings reduced their accident rates by 80% after the implementation of angle of attack. Angle of attack is absolute.
Right.
If you were to get in your car,
right,
and you have a speedometer that you had to add or subtract based on the number of people you put in your car,
mm-hmm,
you wouldn't even drive that car down the road.
Right.
But yet pilots use an airspeed indicator with an inaccurate, as far as I'm concerned, they should take every airspeed indicator out of the airplane and throw
right.
it in the garbage.
Right, exactly.
Angle of attack is absolute if you calibrate it to the specific airplane.
Right.
Because every airplane is different, our system uses differential pressure
right.
mounted solidly to the wing through an inspection cover. Recently, the FAA has come out with a letter. Even though we are not PMA'd or STC'd,
mm-hmm,
they believe our product is considered a minor alteration and be able to be installed on all certified airplanes as long as they don't modify the airplane or deviate from the installation instructions that we provide.
Very good.
We have multiple displays. We even have new displays now, master, a primary and secondary display type, where it has one in the front cockpit and one in the rear. We have units for pressurized airplanes, and we have 12 different display possibilities currently. So it is angle of attack or lift.
I'm very impressed. Thank you very much, Mark. Appreciate that very much. So wrapping it up here at Air Venture this day, John Mahaney, thank you. Good afternoon. This is John Mahaney of the Florida Aviation Network, and it's Air Venture today on Wednesday afternoon, the 27th, and I'm here with...
This is Danny Carpenter.
Danny Carpenter. Okay.
Yep.
And he's with representing King Air Nation. Danny, please.
Yeah. Thanks for having us here.
Okay. And what can you tell me about King Air Nation, a little bit about what you're doing and your goals and where we're going with this and how you're tying that in with some safety?
Yeah, perfect. Thank you very much. Well, we just launched on Monday here at EA Air Venture, and we are a new brand called King Air Nation, and it's based off the website kingairnation.com. And what we're trying to do is just get anyone that's involved in a King Air together. So whether you're a pilot, you know, with thousands of hours, you're an owner of a King Air, you do maintenance on a King Air, you know, or even your dad used to own a King Air, you just like the way they look. We're trying to tie everyone together. We've been referring people to the site as being similar to like a Facebook, to where you can connect, sharing photos and stories, become friends with other people on there. The other half of the site is going to be informational based, news and articles, anything pertaining to anything King Air.
Very good, Dan. That sounds very informative. Something I could pass on to folks that I know that are operating the King Air. So this is just another, I guess, venue and information resources for King Air pilots.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we're looking for. Right now at EAA, we're doing what we call a soft launch. So the website is up. We're obviously here talking about the brand. The reason I say it's a soft launch is because we're going to continually work on the website. We're going to be adding things, something we're going to call probably a pilot's corner, to where specific pilots can get together and interact, and as well as a number of other things that we're going to be developing for the site.
That sounds really good. So we'll probably follow up with you again at some point and just see where we're going on this. So no, thank you. Appreciate the time. And anything else you want to add?
Yeah, definitely. You can look at us on the website, www.kingairnation.com. We're also tied in big with the social media. So anyone that's out there on Twitter or Facebook, you can search us at kingairnation.com. We're also on Instagram, sharing photos and stories on there as well. So definitely connect with us. We look forward to any feedback people might have. And we'll see where this thing goes.
Okay, thank you very much. So this is Danny Carpenter with King Air Nation. I'm John Mahaney for Florida Aviation Network. Thank you. Good morning. This is John Mahaney at Air Venture. It's Friday morning, the 27th, and I'm here with Claire McEwen out of Toronto, I believe, and he's running Air Safaris. So, Claire, if you'd like to tell us a bit about Air Safaris and what you do and your safety record and how you get the pilots to do this in such a safe way without having any problems.
Okay, well, Air Safaris International, we did our first tour in 2004 in Australia. And we run self-fly vacations, and I emphasize vacations because our trips are designed to be a vacation, and we use small aircraft, single-engine aircraft to get around. And this gives us an opportunity to drop into off-the-beaten-path airstrips and go to places that most tourists don't get to. And in fact, at the end of each trip, our clients are amazed. They might be sitting in a pub in Brisbane, and they'll meet some Aussies, and they'll start talking about the places they've been and the things they've seen. And most of the most common comment they get from the locals is, "Wow, I've never been there. Wow, you've seen more of Australia than I have." So I take a lot of pride in that we get people away from the major centers and really get some interesting and unusual spots that we go to.
Thank you. And how do you set this up for you? Relatively low-time pilots to do something that might be well beyond what they normally have considered doing?
Well, a very important part of the design of our trips is that we have a local commercial pilot who goes in an escort aircraft, and in that escort aircraft there's also a tour director, who's usually myself, and between the two of us we take care of all the logistics. The way I break it up with the lead pilot, tell him you're responsible for everything to do with the aircraft, and I'll take care of everything else. So this allows our lead pilot to focus on what's needed to make sure that we have a safe flight. And that includes checking the weather in the morning, putting a flight plan together, and giving the pilots a briefing every morning that we fly. If we run into some unexpected clouds, he'll be looking ahead and get on the radio and advising our pilots what he recommends. But first and foremost, these lead pilots are carefully selected. I have one, for instance, who's got about 23,000 hours of flight time, and he learned flying in the outback before GPS, so he knows his stuff. Mm-hmm. And to have somebody with that experience as a resource there 24/7 during our tours allows people to expand their envelope or even go a little bit beyond their normal
comfort zone.
Comfort zone, yes, thank you. And that's very important. The lead pilot is a very critical component in our overall formula.
Okay, well, obviously that would lend itself to the safety record you've got, and so nobody's going to get beyond or be safe and not get in and do something stupid or, you know, push it. They're err on the side of safety.
Well, exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. And with regards to our lead pilot and how we work with other pilots, first of all, if it's a no-go day and the lead pilot decides it's a no-go day, that is a final decision. There's no negotiation with
right.
the lead pilot.
Right.
I don't want anybody trying to second guess their local knowledge. And the other thing is, if we do have weather that's less than perfect, we will sit down with all the pilots, we'll go over all the options, and we'll make sure that everybody's comfortable with the plan, and that includes the passengers. One of the things I have when talking with people is, I don't want anybody getting into a cockpit with beads of sweat on their forehead.
Right.
This is a vacation.
Yes.
I want everybody completely comfortable with the flight plan for the day.
Low stress.
This is not about trying to prove something. This is about having a vacation and enjoying the trip.
Well, thank you for that. Sounds very interesting. Something I'd like to do, and I'm going to see what I can do to make this happen. So.
Well, it'd be a pleasure to have you, John. Whenever you're ready, we'll be here.
Thank you. Appreciate your time today. So, John Mahaney wrapping it up here at AirVenture for the Florida Aviation Network.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.